This is a replay of the Wednesday night, August 6th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together and a number of things to discuss, but if it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it's on mine, providing it has no great significance whatsoever. All right. Other than fun, of course. Well, it wasn't fun for some of the people in Denmark who read it. They were outraged at the social media post. Well, then there were others who saw it as an opportunity. But let's get to the zoo in Denmark. And by the way, it was Laura who gave us 5x5 trivia who called this article to my attention. And it was interesting. Again, poor choice of words. The Denmark Zoo wants you to donate your pets. Well, it's not to be an attraction or anything like that. It's so they can euthanize them and feed them to bigger animals. Yeah. And obviously, there was probably a better way to word it. A pet probably shouldn't have been anywhere in there. And what they were saying was that if people would donate their unwanted pets, those they could no longer care for whatever reason or other, they would be gently euthanized and fed to predators. And they mentioned that chickens, rabbits, and guinea pigs form an important part of the diet of the predators. Now, of course, when people read the word pets, they immediately think you're asking for their dogs and cats and go ballistic. But like I say, about a third of the posters saw some opportunity in this and wanted to know if they'd take humans, particularly mother-in-laws and ex-spouses and things of that nature. And no, they won't. And so what the zoo is saying is that it's their responsibility to imitate the natural food chain of the animals that they house, both for the animal welfare and professional integrity. And this way, nothing goes to waste. You know, I'm not sure this is a terrible idea, but they need a PR person. They absolutely should not have worded it this way. The zoo also accepts horses as part of its fodder program, and I can't imagine exactly how that works, and I'm not sure I want to know. But while I was reading this, and particularly, like I say, all the comments about, take my ex-husband, please, all of those. And the zoo, by the way, goes on at length to backpedal and explain why scientifically they need to do this. And no, they're not after your house pets, except they are, of course, but not directly. But I thought to myself, it reminded me of Frank Khalil. Frank Khalil was a disc jockey in Tucson. And he was hilarious. He was of Lebanese descent, and he called himself the old Arab on the radio. And actually, at one point, he bought a camel. And, from a traveling zoo. He bought the camel, like, in El Paso and brought it to Tucson. Went to events and all those kind of things. And he was really a hit. And if the name sounds familiar, if you're a radio person, well, that's because Frank Khalil is probably the biggest broker of radio and television and now telecommunications, you name it, huge brokerage. But back in the day when he was a young guy with a camel on KTKT, he got together with a friend who did bits on the show, and they came up with an album called My Plumber Doesn't Make House Calls. And when I was reading this article about the zoo in Denmark, I couldn't help but remember one of the cuts on the album. So I just had to share this with you.
There are a lot of different interesting jobs in the world today. Ran into one that I felt should be brought to your attention. A door-to-door taxidermist, and I'd like for you to meet him right now. How long have you been a door-to-door taxidermist?
Oh, ever since the encyclopedia market got glutted. About and then there was aluminum siding before that, but it's about, 9 to 6, 8 months now. I like it fine.
Yes. I'm just wondering, on behalf of those who are also wondering, just what a door-to-door taxidermist really is.
Well, it's pretty simple. We mount and preserve the family pet, the dog, the cat, whatever, little canary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It would occur to me that quite possibly, as a door-to-door taxidermist, you couldn't get to the front door at the exact moment the animal...
Oh, no, you got it wrong, buddy. We offer a pre-need service.
Pre-need?
Yeah, pre-need. Yes, there would be a timing problem, of course. Lord, we couldn't make it on dead animals.
No.
I hate them. We just have to do a little sales job. We tell them, now look, that old feller is 12 or 13 if he's a day. Yeah. You better get him while he's pretty. He's liable to wander out in front of a car. We would never get them tar tracks out. Get him before he gets that senile look on his face. Wouldn't it be nice right there by the settee?
Well, you just go to every door, or how do you know if a particular house...
Oh, no, we use mailmen. We give them a little finder's fee.
I see. And, yeah.
And sometimes I think they steer us onto some of them young dogs, too. You know, they don't seem to like dogs a lot.
Well, I still find it difficult to believe that a person with a pet to whom they've become very attached would be willing to utilize your services. You must have what the salesman would call a tremendous closing proposition.
Oh, yeah, we got some strong closing stuff. We can throw in little extras, mm-hmm. gimmicks, you know.
Like what?
Well, there's a squeaker.
A squeaker?
Yeah, it's normally $1.98, but we'll throw it in free sometime. Step on his tail, he go, ay! That's kind of cute. And then there's the 2-pound box of droppings. A lot of people will take them for the realism. You know, they like the lady will surprise her husband. He'll come home in the evening. He'll find him in there in the kitchen or somewhere, and he'll take a newspaper and go smack him. Shame, doggy, shame, doggy. Yeah, and then there's the deluxe unit.
The deluxe unit.
The deluxe unit, which we can't hardly never give away, but we'll make them a deal on. That's the little ring in the tongue. You pull it out, they roll over and play alive. And hum Ave Maria.
So there you have Frank Khalil, and it was Jay Taylor who was his sidekick on that, and you know, they used to do these things just extemporaneously on KTKT, and it truly was hilarious. But they recorded that in 1966 and wound up on the Tonight Show with it, and had offers everywhere. But Frank was not leaving Tucson. There was absolutely no way. By then, he had parted ways with the camel. The camel was Lily. Was the camel's name. In fact, there was a contest to name the camel, and the listener who became his wife actually named him. And so it was like Lily May or something, but in any event, Lily Kay something. Nonetheless, Lily went to events for years, but nonetheless, just made me think of that and had to share it with you. Though, as I say, I think the zoo in Denmark needs a publicist right about now. Yeah. Somebody should have thought better before they said, well, why don't you just donate the house pets? All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, have you heard about the Mountain Dew conspiracy? Well... Yeah, actually, it's quite interesting, and there is no conspiracy other than the lunacy of the American public. But we'll get to that next right here, or hopefully your calls 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Ooh, yeah.
been. Here you come and here I go again. I must admit you're looking rather fly. You're a sight for sore eyes. Situation wasn't quite that cool. 7 years ago we both were fools. But I'm real enough to let you know that I'm never gonna let you go.
I'm loving you, I'm still loving you, baby.
I'm still in love.
Nobody's gonna take your place in my life.
Tonight, baby, what's that look upon your face, my dear? It must be magic in the atmosphere. I'm gonna leave it up to chemistry. Stir it up, sugar free.
Stir it up,
sexy joke be blazing everywhere. My crib's close, so honey, let's go there. You got a sister fiending, baby, please. I'm about to be your man.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Tina Marie, still in love. And I think that's the one that Linda and Richmond Park wanted to hear. Yeah, as near as I could tell. And that was on Universal in 2004. Sadly, the same year, she was sleeping in a hotel room and a picture fell off the wall, hit her on the head. And she had a concussion and she had seizures from then on. And 6 years later, sadly, she died. And so that was the deal there. But man, a lot of good stuff from Tina Marie. But I'm pretty sure Still in Love was what Linda wanted to hear. And if it wasn't, she'll tell me why I was wrong and she'll pick something else. But in the meantime, 888-876-5593. Glenn is in Madison, Wisconsin. Glenn, it's good to hear from you.
It's good to talk to you. Timing is everything.
Yeah. What's
it
up?
It was easy to get through tonight. So I had a couple of unrelated things.
Okay.
I've recently read several radio and music autobiographies.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were real hacks. I won't mention those. But yours in particular jumped out by comparison. This was not a book you wrote over a weekend.
Actually, it was a lot quicker than you'd think. John basically said I had to write a book, and we were living in Idaho, and he made me sit down every day and write it. I don't know, maybe it took a month.
It's just, it's both compelling and really well-structured. So I give you a tremendous amount of credit for that.
Oh, that's very nice of you. Thank you. You know, it's so funny because there's so much that I left out, of course. And so John said, so there'll be another book. And I'm like, over my dead body. But unlike some people, I did write every word. I don't have co-writers or, you know, ghostwriters or any of that.
It did occur to me that you have such an archive of radio shows now that using something like Whisper or one of the auto translators that will do speech to text,
yeah,
that potentially, you know, there could be a book called Raleigh on Radio and Records.
that
just took all of the bits that you did, just sort of improvising about radio stations and artists.
Well, one thing is good. Most of the people who would otherwise sue me are dead now, so I guess I could get away with it. But, you know, there were years where I said, I can't tell the truth. Yes. They're still alive.
Yes. Well, speaking of that, in sort of a distantly related way, I heard someone ask you about Tori Ryder's book a month or two ago.
Uh-huh.
And I had never heard of her.
Really?
And you said, yeah, well, the times that she was on WGN...
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know about her, and before then, you know, I didn't listen to Kiss FM in Los Angeles, which would have been the place. Anyway, a very nice book, an interesting book. She did change all the names.
Yeah, She Said What, I think, is the title.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really good.
Good. Good.
And before I leave the topic of books, this is just an odd one, and you would not normally read it. The only reason I recommend it is, to me, it jumps out as being one of those really phenomenal books, and that's Janice Ian's autobiography.
Interesting.
It is profoundly honest and raw and a fascinating look at her career. It is not one of those books that would be written by a publicist.
Interesting. Well, I was with Epic when she had her hit in the 70s, and I remember so well that the guy who was my boss just loved it and had the world's biggest crush on Janis Ian. And I said, I hate to break this to you, but... And he was completely crestfallen. He had no idea. I said, where have you been? Well, and so every time I think of her, I think of him.
She actually did marry a man.
Yeah.
A very abusive man. Mm-hmm. I think after the F-17 era.
Right.
Before she settled with her current partner.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she was pretty well settled by this point, and he was just utterly clueless. But I'll bet it is an interesting book. Not my kind of music, obviously, but I'd be fascinated by her story. I'll get it.
Yeah, and in fact, I don't know whether you ever listen to audiobooks. It's one of those really well-narrated books. She
does
good. It herself.
No, I'd love to do that. Absolutely. All right, thanks for that. I'll get that.
And the last thing I wanted to mention to you is, do you know about Isotope?
Yeah, what about it?
Have you played with their D-Clicker?
No. Have you?
It's phenomenal.
Really?
It is so good.
Really?
It removes pops and clicks without making the audio quality deteriorate.
Interesting. Yeah, and I'm willing to try it because I've never heard one that I was willing to like, you know, because all of them, the end result I don't have to explain. But I know that Isotope makes a lot of products, and I'm not much of a recording engineer, so consequently, whether it's, Ozone 11 or whatever else, no. But what are they calling it?
So it's part of RX.
Oh, okay.
And I forgot what they call the low end one. Now, if you wait, you can sometimes get the low end one for $39.
Okay, yeah, RX 11, and it works.
Yes.
It works. Obviously, it's Mac, so I love that.
It's Mac, Windows, Linux, and they have their own UI. Before it all disappeared.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. And we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio. James, 1982 on Gordy. I like it. Yeah, Randy DeBarge was just a kid. He turned 67 years old today, born in 1958 in Detroit. And he's singing on I Like It. He co-wrote it with Elle. All right, so we are talking to Glenn in Madison, and I'm delighted about that. And so, of course, I look up RX Elements, and I've seen $1,349. You've got to be kidding. And then I say, oh, wait. You can just get the, like you say, the light version of this for $99. Not bad. All right.
Yeah, and if The thing to remember is there are a few controls, and in particular, you want the periodic. There's something that says like intermittent clicks.
Oh, interesting.
All yeah, right. you got to get the settings right, and if you're feeling desperate, send me a terrible audio file.
All right.
I have a pretty quick process of going through it. So send me something with pops and clicks, and I'll send it back.
It's going to be a while. We have four locations in Globe, and we're leaving one of them because it's been a rental house. We've had it for, you know, I call it the world's most expensive climate-controlled storage, and then the air conditioning went out. So I said, all right, we're getting out of here. And so this has been the absolute worst move I've ever gone through because it's going to the other three locations, and, of course, nobody labeled what was in the boxes. So,
ouch.
I'll be busy for a while. Yeah, but eventually I'll survive and do this.
Do you still have a house, or are you still renting in Phoenix/Tucson? I can't remember where.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I am, and we will do that indefinitely because for John's stroke, he really needs the therapy that isn't available in small places. So, yeah, we're by Scottsdale and close to all the therapy things. And, yes, absolutely. So that, and I have no desire to buy anything there, but renting is fine. And so we've got that plus the three locations in Globe.
I have a sort of a philosophy question, or what energizes you question, because, you know, there are tons of people who love talking to you. And it's sort of obvious from the quiet comments that you make that there are people who are in your life that energize you and that you love talking to. And I'm curious, what are the things that you get from other people that energize you enough to do it on your own time?
That's a great question, and unfortunately, as you're saying that, I'm thinking to myself, oh, well, that's mostly past tense. Everybody's gone now. I don't spend a lot of time talking to anybody. So that's unfortunate but true. So I don't know. You know, there were a number of people that I spent hours and hours on the phone with, virtually every day, and all of them are gone now.
I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, we're getting to that age, and actually, radio doesn't have a very long lifespan usually anyway, so a lot of them have been gone years. I was, just today I was thinking, you know, it'll be 40 years since Bobby Hatrick was murdered and since Stephen B. was murdered, and they were two of my closest friends, 20 years for Stephen B. and 40 for Bobby, and murder took both of them out of my life, and I miss them both dearly.
Yeah. I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I won't leave your life, but maybe I'll just leave your call.
I hope you will stay in better touch, Glenn. I think about you often, and I'm amazed. You went to Madison a long time ago, and I wonder how long Glenn will stay there, but you become a lifer in Madison.
You mentioned last week, I think, you were trying to talk about Michael Feldman.
Right, Michael Feldman. That's
Michael Feldman.
Yes, what
do you know?
Yes.
WPR canceled him in 2015.
Yeah,
and he's done a podcast, and he is sounding much older these days.
Really? Yeah, that's absolutely right, Michael Feldman. And somebody said Michael Feinstein. I'm like, no, it's not that. But yeah, Michael Feldman. I loved that show. American Public Radio and all that. I thought it was terrific. Wonder why they canceled it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, probably fewer stations were clearing it or something.
And I can't understand that because especially on the weekends when you're scanning the dial, if you're looking for anything in talk, all you'll get on mainstream media is infomercials other than WGN. So you're starting to look for anything. And he was terrific. And it's really a thing. And I've told a lot of people about that show when it was on. And I said, you don't have to agree with this politics because you're not even going to hear much of that on this show. It's just a fun show. The other thing I liked years ago, and it's longer time than that, was Jerry Galvin out of Cincinnati. had a wonderful show, and I think they called it Talk Back originally and then had to change it, became Talk Talk or something. But it was a premise every week. And I remember one was that Congress passed an ordinance that you had to do 4 book reports a year. And people would call in, you know, on the subject. You know, most of them were in on the bit. And occasionally you'd get somebody who wasn't, which, of course, made it even funnier. But it was a tremendous show, too. So a lot of good things on public radio. And right now, there's a dearth. I can't think of anything that's currently on that I'd say, oh, I want to hear that. Do you know of anything?
I think the closest thing probably is Wait, Don't Tell
Yes.
Me, but I don't listen to it regularly.
Yeah, and you know, that's interesting because when I hear that, I like that show, but for some reason, I don't know if it's not widely carried or if it's carried at really odd hours, but I don't hear it as often as I'd like to.
Well, it does, I believe it does get posted as an NPR podcast, so that would be an option.
Yeah, but it's usually when you're driving down the street, you know, and I don't have any of the bells and whistles or anything, so I'm listening to the radio. And, you know, I'll say, well, I'll just find this, and I just don't find it anymore. Yeah, I think Peter Siegel and Bill Curtis, I think, were the guys. So, yeah, all right, well, I'm glad it's still on. I'll look harder.
Sounds good. I wish you all the best with your moves.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, I'll keep you posted, and I'll count on hearing from you again.
Thanks. Okay, thanks a lot.
Good
night.
Deal. All right. So, Glenn. Yes, and Play It Again, Glenn, which was in Northridge, and I still have tapes of that at KSUN. So, 888-876-5593. Yeah, I ran across tapes today. I wasn't looking for tapes. Yeah, but I found 60 more boxes of albums. So, you know, with the 45s, I plan to just send them as prizes. I know that's a threat, not a promise, when we get around to trivia prizes. But John looked at me and said, we're not mailing the albums. No, don't worry, we're not mailing the albums. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh and Jan from Dallas had a request. So hello, Jan.
Oh, hello, Raleigh. My best to you both. I would like to hear the 3 Degrees. When will I see you again?
Okay.
Okay?
You got it. Writing it down right now. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, good deal. Oh, when will I see you again? I'll look for that. And then we'll be talking to John in Covington here in a moment. But I wanted to mention the Sea Crane Company while I'm at it. Yeah, one of my favorite things. Bob Crane should be knighted because years ago when radio just had the lousiest reception, AM and FM, he said I could do better. And he did. And every radio that Bob Crane designs has one thing in common. They will have terrific reception. And one of them that you may want to check out is the CC Skywave SSB2. Some consider it their favorite travel companion because in addition to everything else, it has the aviation band on VHF. So you can hear what air traffic controllers are saying, those who are on VHF. So that's interesting. But it's also got NOAA weather and a weather alert and shortwave. That's right, single sideband. And, you know, it's got AM and FM, of course. And again, amazingly sensitive on that. You will hear things that you just don't hear on the average radio, but it's what, about 8 ounces or so, and it fits in the palm of your hand, and it's just a terrific little radio. It's got presets and all sorts of things. And by the way, on AM, it's got the ability to tune in 9 kilohertz or 10 kilohertz increments, and that's important if you travel, because not everybody is 10 kilohertz like the United States. So you get a rotary volume dial, stereo headphone, you know, your basic clock, alarm, timer, all those things, of course. 400 memory presets. Yeah. Adjustable squelch and lighted dial. I think I mentioned that. And, of course, runs on a couple AA batteries and usually for about 65 hours. But you can also get an optional AC charger if you want. And it is a wonderful little radio to look at, and I would. So go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Skywave SSB2. CC Skywave SSB2. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, give them a call. World's Best Customer Service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They will send you a copy of the catalog by mail so you can see it for yourself. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Skywave SSB2 and everything else while you're at it. And you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Yes, it's over, call it a day. Sorry that it had to end this way. No reason to pretend, we knew it had to end someday. This way.
Guess it's over, the kicks are gone. What's the use of trying to hang on? Somewhere we lost the key, so little left for you and me. And it's clear to see, too much, too little, too late.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, Johnny Mathis, Denise Williams, 1978 on Columbia, and that was James on the South Side who wanted to hear that, and next I promise we'll get that 3 degrees on for Jan. So, we have John in Covington. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I just wanted to, I've been meaning to tell you this for, God, a couple years now. Anyway, Gary Burbank did a thing. It was the James Brown car alarm. I don't know. Do you know of that? You know that bit?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So about 4 months after that aired on the radio, all right, Second City TV, they just out and out stole this from this guy about 4 months after it was on. It was his idea. They stole it from him.
Yeah.
So I called, or I didn't call. I wrote him a letter here at WLW, and I left my phone number and my address, and I told him what happened, and he did call me back, and he says, you know what, John? He says, I am so sick and tired of, you know, threatening people with legal action and this and that. And he said, if they want to steal from me, you know what that means? That means I have talent and they don't.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm just sick of it. But he thanked me and everything like
yeah.
that. But a Second City TV, that was out of Canada. And they had on their show, they had John Candy, and that's big time, and Eugene Levy, and a couple other people. But nonetheless, I told John I don't want. Don't want to upset Raleigh. Gary Burbank's he's still around.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's funny you say that. And Gary is a very good friend of mine. And
right, I know that.
Yeah, sadly, as you probably know, he is not in good condition. And,
right.
So when I saw Gary Burbank name on the screen, I said, "Do not tell me," because just last week we lost Bo Wood, and I'm heartbroken about that. You know, Frank Wood Jr., who of course he and his dad started WEBN, and then he later became president of J Corps, and then had a bunch
jelly
of
jelly pudding. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. At night, you betcha. You know, here's this guy who graduated from Harvard and University of Chicago Law, and he's doing jelly pudding. But not my kind of stuff. But I loved him. He was terrific. He was a wonderful guy, and I haven't seen him face to face since 1990, unfortunately. But I knew that he was diagnosed with Alzheimer's several years ago now, and he just passed away in the last week, and it was a real loss. And I said, "Do not tell me that Burbank's gone too." So I'm glad.
No. And I was afraid of that, you know, when I told John. But, no, I just wanted to share that with you. I've been meaning to tell you that for a couple of years now. And I just thought of it. But I thank you.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. Thanks. Yeah, there were so many funny Burbank bits. He was just terrific. Although, my favorite Burbank story was actually not what he did on the air. It was what he did off it. And, you know, he'd been big at Wacky for years in Louisville. And then he left in 73. But he came back to HAS, and he was doing an afternoon drive. And he told him and told him and told him, you cannot saddle me with this kind of a commercial load. You just cannot do this. And I mean, it was just ridiculous amount of commercials. So he took matters into his own hands. And it was a couple of years before they realized that he just wasn't playing half the spots. I mean, he just, you know, he'd just check them off on the log and not play them. So, yeah, sadly, after a couple of years, the general manager said, I hate to do it, but I got to fire the guy. We got to pay people back. And of course, they did. But I thought, creative. Yeah, all right. So, yeah. And then, of course, later he wound up at WLW. But his second wife, Carol, he met when he was at WAC. And she was, she must have just gotten out of high school. Just gorgeous little girl. And, you know, they got together, and it was so funny because I remember the story of Carol saying when they got engaged, okay, now, you know, I've been working, and I saved a few thousand dollars or whatever it was, something modest, and how about you? And Gary, well, I got some credit card debts. He had absolutely nothing whatsoever. And it literally, you know, later you find out he had a chain of restaurants and all that. You can thank Carol for all that. She's the one who managed all that stuff. But the other thing is that she had a deal where she did not want to live more than about 100 miles away from her mom. And so each time he would get a job, like he was, down in Tampa for a little while, New Orleans at WNOE, that's where he went after Wacky, and CKLW most notably ended. But each time, you know, it's like, we got to go back. And so, when he settled in at LW, it was just perfect. Because I remember I was talking to him before that, about going to San Diego, and I had a good friend there who really wanted him and was willing to pay anything. And you know, we talked, and I said, you know, take the WLW thing. It'll be great for Carol, and you'll be there the rest of your life. And he was. So, yeah. So I think it was about 2017 now, about 8-9 years ago, that his doctor had said, you know, Gary, I see a little early dementia happening here. And he managed it very well for quite some time. But from what I understand, we haven't talked in, gosh, it's probably been about a year. Yeah, he was driving somewhere with Sean Compton, actually, and they both called me. And it was wonderful. And that's the last conversation we had. And I hope that things are going as well as possible for him. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We're going to get into Mountain Dew here. Now, Brett, who is keeping me on the air tonight at Master Control, said he's heard about the Mountain Dew conspiracy. But it's interesting. Takeout. Takeout.com is a great site if you're a foodie, because they are all things food of every variety. So with a Mountain Dew conspiracy, you kind of know that they'd kind of look into that. Now, what was interesting is Joe Hefner, who wrote the article, you know, admitted that he was all set to have fun with this until he realized that, oh my God, there are people who believe this kind of stuff. And yeah, he said, we were going to start the article as though you were being debriefed by some ultra-secret spy agency, emphasizing the importance of this information that never sees the light of day. And of course, they, you know, take a ludicrous story and treat it with dead seriousness, the top secret information. And then, like I say, it dawned on the people at Takeout that even the most outlandish conspiracy theories are accepted without reservation. You know, furniture companies involved in human trafficking, right? And so that's when, you know, they thought about it and they said, let's actually look at this in a different way. Now, the conspiracy, in case you haven't heard about this, is a guy who propagated this was Maverick Bailey. And he's a podcaster who has claimed Love Island was created by the CIA and the world ended in 1999. So let's realize where we are. And so he made note of the new flavors of Mountain Dew and what they coincided with. So we'll talk about this next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, providing it has absolutely no great import, particularly political. Other than that, hey, we're up for grabs. That's the 3 degrees. Of course, when will I see you again? You say it, we play it, and Jan did. So there you have it. All right. I was, interested in United Airlines' woes today, which will be pretty costly to them. And from what I understand, there are still people on tarmacs in various locations, and not good. It doesn't, it's not out of the blue. United last year had a similar situation. So I'm looking at this saying, what is going on? It's not cyber, problems or, anybody who's attacking or anything. No, absolutely. This is all in-house, and it's all because of Unimatic. Now, Unimatic is software that is the underpinning of pretty much everything United does. It's everything from weight and balances to staff members trading off schedules and everything in between. I mean, it does everything. All right, Unimatic. They've been using it about 50 years now. It still uses Fortran and Unisys 2200. So you say to yourself, software that's been online since the 1970s, and they are talking about, quote-unquote, modernizing. Yeah, this should have happened a long time ago, and despite its age and despite its obsolescence in terms of the backbone of this system, it's vital to United's operations. And, they're talking about a new system that I think they want to bring online. I think it's Volair or Volari. I don't know, one of those. But bottom line is that, today is not a completely isolated example. Yeah. 50 years? Yeah. Fortran? All right. So there's your problem. But if you were thinking cyber attack, no. They don't need anyone from outside. Just work with your own systems. They'll fail. And Unimatic did today. So that's the deal. But it's very comprehensive in terms of the scope of it, and it ties into virtually all the other systems. So when there's a problem with it, there is a problem with everything. All right, so 888-876-5593. Now back to Mountain Dew. So we told you this guy, Maverick Bailey, a podcaster and all that, who never met a conspiracy he wasn't willing to embrace. He's the one who popularized the idea that when Mountain Dew introduced a new flavor, it tied in with disastrous world events. For instance, Maui burst right before the disastrous wildfires in Maui, or Star Spangled Splash right before the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. And Pitch Black connected to the widespread CrowdStrike IT blackouts. And he's also predicting, by the way, you can check on it next week, that something paranormal will happen with the release of Baja Midnight. It releases August 14th, so you might want to be on the lookout for that. Now, what's interesting and what the article on Takeout got into is, there's a lot of, fun, if you will, to look at these things, but how could anyone with any, logic framework whatsoever buy into this? Now, for instance, let's say that there is a connection between Mountain Dew flavors and significant events. Takeout said, does this mean PepsiCo has an Oracle on retainer? Or that these events are all orchestrated by some sinister force PepsiCo is aligned with? And if they are, why would they tip us off? But, the interesting thing is that the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse, for instance, one of the big points brought up in this conspiracy, while certainly shocking and disastrous to those of us here, it pales by the invasion, compared to the invasion of the Ukraine or the collapse of Al-Assad's regime in Syria. Neither of those got their own Mountain Dew flavor. And by the way, Maui Burst was originally released in 2019. So how do you connect that with fires that happened 4 years later and on? And as you look at this, the really, really frightening part is that all of these theories have followers, have people who are, you know, oh yeah, that makes all the sense in the world to me. No, it's a logic fallacy that just defies the imagination. But it's fun nonetheless. So yes, I guess on August 14th we can all together see what happens with the release of Baja Midnight. I don't know. I first tried Mountain Dew when it came out in the 60s. It was a mid-60s launch, and I remember it so well. I remember the delicatessen where I first had a bottle, and I thought, it's not too bad. And I had a couple bottles of it before I made the mistake of pouring it into a glass. That's when I discovered it was bright yellow. And, yeah, I know it shouldn't affect the taste, but I've never had one since. So 888-876-5593, 888-ROLLYE. Got more of your requests coming up, and more news of the insane, if you will. No shortage of that. And as they say, no shortage of people willing to believe it. But on the one hand, and I won't dwell on this, obviously, because it'll sound almost like it's an issue that matters, but people are quick to denounce things like the National Enquirer, and I'll blame them a bit, but why is it that they assume that if it's in a quote-unquote credible news source that it's accurate? You know, I think that maybe a lot more investigation should go on all the way around. Then there's the Daily Horn, an interesting publication, and near as I can tell, they're not so much about disinformation as they are just odd stories. And today, Miami, good old Miami, Florida, Miami-Dade homicide detectives are puzzled. And apparently a Walmart parking lot, and late at night, 288th Street Southwest, which, you know, that didn't exist when I lived in Miami, but that's way south. In any event, authorities were notified. They got a report of a burning vehicle. Well, the onlookers were pretty terrified, and the part that I found interesting wasn't so much that the car was ablaze or that there was bright orange flames emitting thick smoke or that the firefighters discovered a body and all that in the front seat of the charred vehicle, to the point they don't know who or what it is because the blaze was that serious. But there was one woman who was on the scene who said, "This car was moving just before the explosion." Ah, so there's an unusual detail in terms of that, but nobody knows as far yet. But yeah, you don't usually expect to go to Walmart and see the car that's backing out of the space next to you explode. But just in case, be very aware. All right, so we have woman admitting to decapitating man whose head is still missing. I'd say she's got some splaining to do, to say the least. She's from Kentucky. She was sentenced to 20 years in prison for killing a couple guys in 2021. She pled guilty to a series of charges, complicity to murder, complicity to manslaughter in the second degree, abuse of a corpse, tampering with physical evidence, and the victims were, one was 39 and the other 64, were found dead under unusual circumstances, to say the least. They were discovered in the crawl spaces of their homes, but it was particularly gruesome as one of them had been decapitated. They still haven't found the head. Now, that's interesting. They allowed this woman to enter a plea. They sentenced her, and they're not forcing her to say, "Where'd you put the head?" Yeah. And meanwhile, despite the plea, her defense attorneys were continuing to assert her innocence, even during the sentencing hearing. And apparently all the details were revealed in court documents, both bodies being discovered in the same week, September of 2021, but absolutely no one has discovered the head. Yeah, I would think that before your sentence, probably they probably want to investigate that. But apparently, I'm not sure how that worked. So, and worse yet, the woman will be eligible for parole after serving 85% of her sentence. So she's pretty young. So possible that she'll make it that long. But yeah, there's a lot of these pleas where I say to myself, expiring minds want to know, can't you at least in the plea force the perpetrator to give us the details? Apparently not. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. And we got another request coming up, and hopefully some of your calls on WGN Radio.
love me, baby. Still, you tell me maybe that someday, well, I'll be true. Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're gonna leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Buddy Holly, actually the Crickets, that'll be the day on Brunswick. And it goes back a little further than that. It was 1956 that it was first recorded by Buddy Holly and the Three Tunes. And that was Buddy and Jerry Allison wrote it. A year later, his new band, the Crickets, they recorded it again. The Three Tunes version was also released after the Crickets version and got some success as well. Norman Petty is credited as co-writer. He didn't write anything. But nonetheless, a huge hit, to say the least. And it was interesting that Buddy Holly, along with Jerry Allison and Buddy's older brother and Sonny Curtis, they all went to see The Searchers starring John Wayne. And Wayne reportedly used the phrase, "That'll be the day," and that's what caused them to write it. Buddy Holly and the Three Tunes for Decca. And that was at Bradley Studios in Nashville in 1956. And Decca, for their problems, was not too pleased with Buddy Holly at that point, because they'd released a couple other singles that did nothing, so they didn't release it. And then, of course, you know, a year later, they re-recorded with the Crickets, and it becomes a hit. Then Decca said, "Well, you know, maybe we'll release that after all." And so they did. Maybe we should play that one as well. And yeah, there were other things they released after the fact that then did absolutely nothing. So yeah, Decca had those sessions for something like 5 years, and I don't know that all of it has ever come out. But of course, the hit version was on Brunswick. So 888-876-5593. Naoto is in Japan. All right, Naoto, thanks for calling back. What's up?
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about cars and, you know, related to stuff.
Yeah, cars? Okay, what about cars?
Yeah, I hear that you are, like, somewhat of a car lovers or, like, enthusiasts.
What?
You like cars, right? Basically, like, you are, like...
I like those big V8 engines, no doubt about that. I want as much power as I can get.
Mm-hmm. So basically, like, I was staying in Yokohama area in Japan.
Yeah.
In May to around June.
Yeah.
And there is a rest area in Yokohama called Daikoku Parking.
Uh-huh.
So at night, particularly at night, people gather and, like, with nice cars.
Yeah.
And people are taking pictures of each other and, you know.
Sure.
Just chatting about, like, cars and...
Sure.
Like, basically, like, car meets.
Okay.
So, like, have you ever been to these kind of events or, like, places, like, where people gather and talk to each other and stuff like that?
Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, really?
Interesting. Well, you know, what I find interesting is that when you talk about, you know, my love for power and all that, most people in the States mm-hmm. assume that if it's a Japanese car, it's not going to have a V8 engine. But the truth is, as you well know, mm-hmm. a lot of them have. The Lexus have, and the Nissan Infinities have, and some of the Toyotas mm-hmm. have. I think there was a Mitsubishi that A80 had a V8. I wonder why the image is that it's mostly 4 and 6 cylinder, when in fact, absolutely, there are a number of Japanese imports with V8s.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Who knows? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So tell me, if you had an unlimited budget, what would you buy today?
My dream car, basically.
Yeah, yeah, your dream car. What would it be?
I would say Ferrari 512 Tia.
Now, what is that?
Oh, like, I don't know how people in Japan say, like, Goichi Tia, like,
okay.
It's kind of like, oh, how should I say this? 1, 2, oh, no.
Okay.
512 Tia.
Okay. I don't know what that is.
Oh, like, they were, like, sold during 1991 to 1994.
Oh, okay. All right. So you're going for going for an oldie but a goodie. I like that. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that still available there? Could you buy one if you had the funds?
Yeah. I think there are three.
Okay.
I'm actually looking up right now, and there are 5 cars.
All right. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, good to know. Always good to hear from you, Naoto.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, talk to you soon. So, 888-876-5593. But yeah, Japanese cars get a bad rap for not having much power. You know, people think, oh, they got 4 and 6 cylinders and that's it. No, there are a number of them that have been 8s and still are. So, there. All right. So, we'll get to Bob from Willowbrook and Cindy in Chicago, and hopefully you two coming up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Had our number changed today, although I hate it too. But each time the phone would ring, they'd want to speak to you. And it hurts to tell them you're not here with me. Maybe now, oh telephone, let me be. It's not in the book now, so you'd better write it down, just in case your love for me should ever come around. You might want to call and break the news to me. Just call Lonesome 77203. I keep the telephone beside me all the time, hoping you might want to call and say you've changed your mind. If you do, then darling, you know where I'll be. I'm at Lonesome 77203.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and well, there you have Hawkshaw Hawkins, and actually Ernest Tubbs' kid Justin wrote that. It was final single release of Hawkshaw Hawkins' career, obviously, 1963, because of course he perished in the airplane crash that took Patsy Cline and Cowboy Copas as well. And a couple weeks after that that crash, Lonesome 77203 went to number one for 4 weeks. So, 888-876-5593. Bob is in Willowbrook. Welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up, Bob?
Thank you, Raleigh. Good evening. Last night you took a call from a lady who had some political question in mind, and I knew you would shut her down as you did. But you said you wouldn't mind talking about things from maybe the 60s, 70s, or 80s. And for some reason, I remember watching Ronald Reagan's press conferences, the ones in prime time. And every so often, he would take a question from a woman, a large woman, or at least she sounded like a large woman, all the way in the back of the room, named Sarah McClendon. And all I gathered was she was a member of a family that had some kind of a media empire in Texas. Am I right?
I do not know if Sarah was related to Gordon or not.
Oh.
But I can probably find that out. I have no direct knowledge of that. I know who you mean. It never occurred to me.
Oh, okay. Well, I made an incorrect assumption.
Well, maybe not. Let's see what it says. Born in... Okay, that's got to be a relative of hers because she can't be born in 1862. All right. How about 1910? Now we got a White House reporter for half a century. All right, so she, if so, she'd be older than Gordon, obviously. But let's see. She's born in Tyler. All right, so we got Texas there, but I don't think Gordon's family was ever in Tyler. No, it's not spelled the same. Sarah McClendon is McClendon. Gordon McClendon is McClendon. But Gordon McClendon certainly had his political moments. You know, he ran for he ran for the Senate. He lost in the primary, but I still actually think I have right here the radio commercial for it.
Under copper skies in Abilene, from Pecos east to the Great Sabine, neath towering Quiso's mountain spires, sweeping like a prairie fire, the move is to McClendon, McClendon. Where blood-red clays of Alamo still churn with dust of long ago, to the great staked plain, the barren lands, storming cross the sun-parched sands, the moon is to McClendon, McClendon. From the Rio Grande to Texas, homeland, Gulf Coast shores comes a mighty roar. Send to Congress Gordon McClendon, Senator for Texas. The move is to McClendon, McClendon.
And a lot of luminaries in that campaign, John Wayne and Robert Cummings and all. But he was a conservative Democrat, and he got 43% of the vote against his liberal incumbent, Ralph Yarbrough. But
what year was that?
64. But the interesting thing is, you know, I'm absolutely about states' rights, but you have to be careful when you're on this platform, because what he did was he opposed the Civil Rights Act. Well, as a conservative Democrat, you know, do not do this, you know, because, of course, what he was basically saying is he didn't want the broad sweeping powers to go to the federal government, which I understand, but that's suicidal. And he also entered the primary in 68, and he withdrew from that. He was against LBJ's Vietnam policies, but he was always political. Back in 54, he said we should withdraw from NATO and on. So, yeah, he was an active guy, but other than that, no. He was no relationship to Sarah, who spelled it differently.
Okay. Well, I should have done some homework first. One more thing. There was a news story, I don't know if you covered this, about some guy who was arrested on the Autobahn for going 199 miles an hour. Yeah, I don't know what that computes to in kilometers, but they didn't say what he was driving.
Oh, okay. Well, let's find out. Yeah, here we've got it. He gets a $1,043 fine, and not every section of the Autobahn is devoid of speed limits. So obviously, there are some places that are, but let's see. It was Magdeburg, wherever the heck that is, a couple hours west of Berlin, and so what was he driving? The speed limit is actually fairly tame in that section. If you converted it to miles, it's about 75 miles an hour, so it's not the deal. So $1,043 fine, points on the license, barred from driving for 3 months. All right, tell me. Police did not provide any information on what type of car. Well, so Road and Track says they'll update me if they do. But apparently, you see that the last time a Porsche, a Panorama, or whatever, he received the driver $2,700 in fine, and but that was stateside. So I don't know. We'll see if Road and Track tells us what the car was.
Okay. Well, thank you
for
all the info, and have a great night.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. So it said Gordon McClendon. I thought we were going to talk about all sorts of things, but we didn't. And all sorts of wonderful things in Gordon's colorful life, to say the least, all the way around. Yeah. Some shareable, some not. Though he's been gone coming up on 40 years as well. Yeah, sadly, shot himself, allegedly cleaning his weapon at home at Lake Dallas, but he was suffering from the advanced stages of esophageal, I think it was cancer. It was not good. I had seen him about 3 months before that, and he wasn't looking good. All right, so 888-876-5593. The last time he appeared in public was actually at a country radio seminar, and I have that entire thing recorded. And he wasn't totally sober, but, you know, hey, it's Gordon. All right, so 888-876-5593. James on the South Side, so we played Lonesome 77203 just for you.
Yeah, and you played the Johnny Mathis
as
well.
Right. That's
Thank
right.
you.
Got a couple of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just add the Oreos I find in the chapel.
Yes, I have that on the list. I will be happy.
Oh, you already got it. Okay.
Yes. In fact, I'll play that for you next.
Okay. Oh, and I came across an odd story where a mother got her son a gift for doing such a good babysitting chore. Now you would figure, okay, maybe a baseball glove or some, maybe a Nintendo, whatever those electronics, something like that. No, she got him a tactical vest and some ammo.
That's interesting. Yeah, this is from a few months ago, by the way. But I am aware of this story because I remember seeing this, because this is like May. It was the last school year, was just coming to a close, and apparently the kid was planning quote unquote mass targeted violence at his middle school. So they arrested mom in Texas. And she provided the ammo and the tactical gear to a 13-year-old whose, according to authorities, behavior demonstrated his plans for mass targeted violence in San Antonio. And so apparently it was a deal where he was seen as a potential problem as early as the beginning of the year, when he had drawings of the local school, including a map labeled suicide route and the name of the school written beside a rifle. And so they were looking at him, saying, you know, and apparently he had a fascination with mass shooters. And so in April, they discovered he was researching the Christchurch mosque shooting in New Zealand and other things. He was subsequently suspended from school, and he later attempted suicide with a straight razor, required over 100 stitches. Now, with that background, this is before mom bought him the vest and the weapon. Don't you think that mom would have probably said, maybe that's not a good idea? Well, apparently... His grandmother is the one who first called police. Not for any of that. She found that he was hitting something, a live bullet actually, with a hammer. And apparently he told his grandmother that he got the bullet from his mother, and she had guns and ammo at her house and all that. So she called authorities. And obviously they came to came to the scene, particularly since the boy had also told his grandmother he was going to be famous. And so the question becomes, and these are the things with these articles, it's the problem, is they never bother to finish quote unquote the rest of the story. What the hell was mom thinking?
When you see the picture of mom, you're like thinking purple hair.
Mom's 33 years old. She's she's not very old and all that. And they charged the kid with terrorism. And I guess they charged the mother with contributing or whatever. But this was right in San Antonio. This is in Bexar County. And I should try to look up, maybe find out. But I am much more interested in what possessed this mother. And the grandmother was obviously aghast. You know, she goes to the boy's bedroom and she finds all sorts of things in there in addition to live ammo and improvised explosive devices and mortar. And, on some of the explosive devices, they had the name of the person the kid wanted to attack, or in other cases, had the name of the shooter who did mass shootings in the past. Now, you would think that mom would have been, and yeah, I know, if you look at mom, she also is an exercise in tattoos you probably will regret. I'll just say that. Yeah. And you know, don't get them on the face, really. And if you're going to get them on the neck, maybe we can find out more about Ashley Pardo. That was her name, 33 years old. I heard about the story, but I never did a follow-up on what happened to Ashley. I'd be curious.
Yeah, and I had a hard time finding anything. It just at that point, I just said, well, I'll just put it for memory, commit to memory about it.
Okay. I've got more, apparently. She pointed a shotgun at a baby 2 years before helping the planned attack. So apparently they found photos of her pointing a shotgun to the infant, which she sent to the child's father. So this was a problem to begin with. So she was arrested, obviously, on abandoning or endangering a child with criminal negligence and all this. And that was 3 months after the other arrest. So apparently, she sent the photo to the child's biological father, telling him the infant was being a brat. And these are known problems. So then that's the latest in charges, but not the only. Endangering a child added to the list.
Yeah, and I know it's hard being a parent nowadays, but this.
By the way, she was married. And her husband was arrested in May on the same child endangerment charges. So not only was mom doing this, but dad was aware.
Oh, boy. Well, the only thing you can say is just simply pause and look upward.
Yeah, I can't imagine it myself. So the father, no tattoos, but other than that, looks like a true bottom feeder. Not good. And known, by the way, to carry a pistol, and had on multiple occasions taken the weapon out and placed it on the table next to an intended victim. Uh-huh.
Then I'm like thinking, what's this with people? I mean, sure, the medical profession needs people, but apparently there was, a story out of Florida about one who was masquerading as a nurse.
Oh, yeah, that woman, absolutely, at dozens of hospitals and all that, yeah.
The only thing I would probably almost want to say, I appreciate your dedication, but first go and get the train and then come to
her. Well, and she was doing it in different counties. She was arrested. She supposedly had treated over 4,000 patients. And this was in some cases at the same hospital, but in other cases, other hospitals as well. So, in fact, she's not the only one. There's another story from this month about someone else in Florida, same type deal, who was dealing with multiple hospitals. But practicing healthcare without a license, it makes you wonder, in the case of the one we're talking about now, Autumn, how the hospital never bothered to check.
But you know something, when you consider what's happening with hospitals, there was a story that just came out about Wise Spacey now being here in Chicago being ineligible for Medicare and Medicaid payments, and they might end up having to close as early as this Friday.
Yes, yes, absolutely. There's so many stories like that, and we'll leave it at that. God knows I don't have the answer, and then it gets very political when you have the discussion.
Yes. Oh, and one more story about, well, this one is kind of basically a little bit crazy. I'm like thinking, what were these women thinking? There was this guy who married, I think it was 3 or 4 different.
Oh yeah, I saw that in Florida. By the way, let me also mention that, and you didn't mention this one, but I'm sure you're aware, is that in Palm Beach County there was Palm Beach company that sold over 7,600 fake nursing degrees, and under different names and all that. So yeah, but the guy you're talking about, he married 3 different women in Florida, in different Florida counties. And actually, it was not the original wife, I think it was the 3rd wife, who turned him into authorities. And he didn't get much of a sentence, and the judge said that he basically shouldn't be on social media or on the dating sites.
Yeah. I'm like thinking he kind of put the Ricky Nelson traveling man to the test.
Well, it's felony bigamy, and if you're wondering why would he marry 3 different women in a 2-year span, well, you can probably figure it out. The minute they were married, he insisted that they have joint bank accounts. He was doing it for the money. So that's unfortunately, that was the deal. And he attended court with a new girlfriend. All right, so...
let's see now. No brain, no pain.
Right, yeah. She's standing there hearing about the guy who married 3 different women simultaneously, and she hasn't walked out of the room? Apparently, no.
And so, I'm like thinking, first off, okay, the first thing I'd be worried about is my aware I might become sterile.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, no, I don't think any of the women actually threatened him with anything like that, but I wouldn't be surprised. All right, well, I got to shut up because the hour's about to end, and I don't think I took the required break, so I'll talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye. All right, so that's where we'll pick it up next hour, right here on WGN Radio.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. I am happy with the just a plain and simple chapel where all good people go to pray. I prayed the Lord that I'll grow strong as I live from day to day. I searched, but I couldn't find no way on earth to find peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel where people are of one accord. Yes, we gather.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and there it is. That's James Request, Crying in the Chapel, 1953, The Orioles. The Orioles are credited with starting the bird group craze, but they didn't. All right, firstly, they named themselves Orioles after the Maryland State Bird because they were from Baltimore. But the other inspiration was the Ravens. Yeah, so the Ravens were birds before the Orioles were birds. But nonetheless, Crying in the Chapel was Artie Glenn wrote it, and his son, Darryl, released it in 1953. It was on the pop charts, But the Orioles covered it same year, and probably Elvis sold the most copies because, after all, he's Elvis. But the original is the Glenn kid, Daryl. Other than that, the Orioles have the notable version, to say the least. That's Sonny Till on lead, of course, who actually outlived all the rest of the Orioles. He made it to like 1981. But man, this is one of those songs that literally hundreds and hundreds of people have covered. So I guess that Artie Glenn never needed to work again. So let's see. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Linda in Richland Park. All right, so you heard it this time.
Yeah, I heard it, but that wasn't the song that I was talking about. Oh. The song I was talking about, she sings it in a foreign language. It's called Antigo Love or something.
I don't know. I don't know about this. I based it on the lyrics you gave me, but give me more.
Yeah, she sings it in a foreign language.
Okay.
So I can't tell what she's saying, but I think the name of it, whatever that foreign language is that foreign language
are you
love.
Yeah, I know she did Portuguese Love, but...
yeah, that's it.
But
that's
not a foreign... I mean, there's some Portuguese phrases in Portuguese Love. It's part of that It Must Be Magic album. I'll play it for you, and you can tell me whether it's the one or not. I'll play it as my next bumper.
I think that's it, and I just want to thank you for... you're playing my songs. I was thinking you say you're out there in Scottsdale. I have a cousin who lives out there in Scottsdale.
Yeah,
he's so snooty and so arrogant. You couldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. We grew up together, and his mother and I were first cousins.
Uh-huh.
And they played football. He got a football contract to make the story short, but she... my son used to play football, but he had asthma, so I had to get him from that. I said, no, you can't play no football because you got asthma. So they made him a flag boy, so my son resented me for that for a real long time. But her son went on and got a contract, and now he's living out there in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
He don't speak to the family. He don't have nothing to do with the family. So he just, you know, the kid grew up, you know, that's my cousin's son. He grew up and he just went all the wrong direction. He married a girl that not his race, and, and he just something else. So don't nobody even want to mess with him. So
well, it sounds like it was his loss, and you're probably sadly well rid of him.
Right. He played for him and my son was almost 2 months different in their age. He was born in November of 70, my son was born January 77, and he was born November of 76.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And so he don't speak to anybody. And when he comes through town, he thinks everybody's supposed to run and, you know, roll out the red carpet. His name is Barry Gardner. He played the football for some team or another. I don't know. He don't even speak to my son anymore. My one son went out there to try to find him out there in Scottsdale, and he didn't want to give his address. So my son, he was living in Arizona, not nowhere around Scottsdale, but he heard Barry was out there. He said, I'll go visit Barry, and Barry would not give him his address, so he's that way today.
Oh, it's man.
Funny. I have some cousins that, you know, some of them made it pretty big, but they went the wrong direction. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Well, it's funny because today Scottsdale has parts of people where people think it's so upscale, and anybody who's been in Arizona long enough knows that this actually used to be the killing grounds. This is where they take the bodies and dump them. And if you want to know the real money in Arizona, it ain't Scottsdale. I mean, yes, there's a lot of nouveau riche, but you want to go to the Biltmore section of Phoenix. That's where the big bucks lie.
You're right. Okay.
So,
well, I thought about that, and I was thinking, I said, well, I was thinking of some songs that I wanted you to play if you write them down. And I said, I know there's one that you don't want to play. I thought about my grandfather. My father's father was an Indian.
All right.
He was He was a real Indian. He didn't like living indoors. He loved being outdoors. Give him a feel and out with the passer. He was just doing weird stuff, you know, making them dippers out of something he had. You know, he planted cane and everything. He just kept to himself. He made his own medicine and everything. But he did have a tune. My grandmother was, I don't know how they got together, because she was just the opposite of my grandma. She was just the opposite of my grandfather, but he would come in when Lawrence Wells come home.
Oh, perfect.
He would make us come, let's sit down and watch the Lawrence Wells show, and they had this on, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I said, oh, I can never forget that. And I said, it's the only thing he liked.
That's so funny. And there was Lawrence Welk with his accent, and meanwhile he was born in North Dakota.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
We hated it.
Oh, yeah.
Lord.
Champagne music. Well, I remember the night when his co-host, Alice, I think, but anyway, she passed away. He's looking for another co-host. And he came on television with that accent of his and said that he was looking for a new mistress. And it was the funniest damn thing I ever heard.
And he had this one black guy that tap danced at the very last end of the show. And my parents always said, well, they always say the best for last. So we said, what's
that? That was Arthur Duncan. Duncan. Yes, absolutely. You know, Lawrence Welk became a multimillionaire, and it wasn't because of that show, believe me. He bought all the real estate in Southern California, a lot of places that became very, very pricey. So that's where his money came from. But that was another show that the networks canceled because they thought it was passé, and he did better in syndication than he ever did network. It was sort of like what happened to Hee Haw. Same deal, you know, better in syndication. But Arthur Duncan made it to 97 years old. He only died a couple of years ago.
Oh, okay. He sure could tap dance. He tap danced real good.
Well, I loved that Lawrence Welk had him on, because when it was still network, the stations in the South threatened to boycott it because there was an African-American on it. And Welk pretty much said, well, screw you then. And I give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was pretty good show, but
no, it was a terrible show. Believe me, anybody other than your grandmother didn't want to see that.
The only thing I liked was when they had brought color in and they had different gowns and stuff.
Oh yeah.
We didn't like it. My grandfather would make us watch it when he would come on. I think he came on once a week. That's when we was on vacation though, because down south we go down south on vacation. But when we lived in the north, but my grandfather lived in the south. And he just wanted us to watch Lawrence Welk with him. That's the only time we watch. Other than that, no way.
Yeah, right, exactly. So you can watch Myron Florin and the Lennon Sisters. Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was enough to make you sick. We just acted like we liked it.
Yeah, well, what else could you do? Right, exactly.
Exactly. But I wanted to ask you, because all my sons, they drive those 18-wheeler trucks.
Yeah.
They own their own cabbies. They got their own business. And I was telling them to keep on pushing. That's what I told them, because my one son, he was in an accident, but he didn't get not one stretch on him the other day.
Good.
So these two drivers, one driver was trying to force my son to make go in the slow lane to turn off, and he just kept on coming to my son, so he bumped him, and then he made his truck bump the other truck. So my son took a picture of it, but both his trucks was in a sandwich. I said, what happened? He said, I thank God I did not get one stretch.
Good for you. Excellent.
Right. This one guy was on the left of him. He was a Hispanic guy driving his 18-wheeler. Well, it was a company he was working for. And the other guy, he was some type of Jamaican fella. He had a heavy accident, my son said. And he got out the truck and asked my son, why don't we just exchange phone numbers and we talk it over. My son said, I don't think so. He said, I'm calling the police right now. And then the guy said, well, it's your fault. So anyway, they both tried to get off from the cops, but the cops called him, and he had him for a long time. He talked to that Mexican man for about an hour. And I don't know what happened, but his truck is not mobile, so I told him, so we'll just keep on trucking. And I told him, so this song about the impressions, keep on, what is it?
Eddie Kendricks did Keep on Trucking.
No, the one that I like that they remind me of is Keep on Pushing.
Oh, sure, yeah. The Impressions, Keep on Pushing is a wonderful record.
Yeah, that's the song I thought I said, because they always got something going on. One week, my other son, his truck had a flat, and he had to pay thousands of dollars to get another truck, tire. So, but they had money to make it. I said, when you get that wall ahead of you, you're going to find a way how you can make it. And they all young. So I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to let you go. I got son number one, son number two, son number three, grandson number one, granddaughter number one. There's five of them driving 18-wheeler trucks. And then I have one guy that my son's girlfriend's son, he started driving. So we call him part of the group, too. His name is Sean. And I said, well, I thank God none of them had a bad accident or anything, and they're doing the right thing. So my son said, you know, he gets in some terrible situations sometimes. He said people treat him. My one son told me, he said he went to buy some gas, and when he went to pay for the gas, the lady was acting all rude to him and didn't want to give him his sandwich. And he gave her paid cash for it. Then she took it back, and she told him, I was thinking something negative of you. She said, well, I'm sorry. So my son said, it's okay. He said, it's all right. It's all right. My son left on out. So they go through a lot of stuff, these truck drivers.
Oh, absolutely. I am indebted to every last one of them because, you know, without them, nothing would be anywhere on the shelves or in the stores. We couldn't exist without our truckers.
That is so true. So I told him, I said, y'all just do the right thing, pray to God, and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
So, a
big thank you from me to them, because literally, I never lose sight of the fact that without them, we'd have nothing.
Right. And one of my sons that drives a truck, he just had one leg. He was in someone ran over him when he was trying to rescue his friend, Corey.
Oh.
That's a long story, but he got ran over with a motorcycle. He's trying to get Corey out the ground, off the highway, and other motorcyclists couldn't stop and run over my son's left leg.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
They told me, you could get on disability. You could do it. My son said, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to do like my dad. He said, I'm going to get up and find me a job.
Good thing.
He got a prosthetic. He got a prosthetic, and he wears it. And he's the main one that drives them trucks. He'd be going everywhere.
That's great. Absolutely, great.
I kind of like they don't work for nobody. They pick out whatever company or whatever trailer they want to haul. They make big money like that. I said, well, that's good. So I told them, I said, y'all just keep on pushing.
Yeah. All right, well, I'll play that for you, too. I'll play a Portuguese Love and Keep on Pushing, and you'll have to tell me if Portuguese Love is the right song or not.
I'm sure it is. I'll be calling you again sometime.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it, Linda.
I love you and your husband. All righty. Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Yeah. You know, Lawrence Welk, in addition to everything else, he wound up having a number one pop hit in 1961. It was Calcutta. It was an instrumental, obviously. One take, number one. All right, so we will absolutely get to a Portuguese Love and Keep on Pushing. And your calls coming up on WGN Radio.
Hey, baby, how you doing? Wow. It's really been a long time, you know? Remember that night? You remember?
On a starry winter night in Portugal, where the ocean kissed the southern shore, there a dream I never thought would come to pass came and went like time spent through an hourglass. You may look to me like fire and rain,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Tina Marie, she wrote it. She produced it in 1981. It was on the album It Must Be Magic on Gordy. And I think that is the one that Linda wanted. We'll find out. Right now, we'll find out about the news and get back to your calls on WGN Radio.
Keep all the pressure. Keep on pushing. I can't stop now. Move up a little higher. Some way or somehow. 'Cause I've got my strength. And it don't make sense not to keep on pushing. Now maybe someday I'll reach that higher goal. I know I can make it with just a little bit of soul. 'Cause I've got my strength and it don't make sense not to keep on pushing. Now look a look, look a look, a look yonder.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Impressions. 1964 on ABC Paramount, and Linda wanted to hear "Keep On Pushing." Happy to play that. All right, 888-876-5593. Fran is in Austin. How's it going, Fran?
Hey, it's going okay, I guess.
And apologies, by the way, apologies for not answering your email. I have not forgotten about you.
Oh, thank you. I know you've been busy with moves and stuff,
just horrible. Yeah, you know, absolutely, yeah. But I will.
Yeah, I understand, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was calling to make a few requests and also a few comments, but one of the requests is brought on by all this stuff about Mountain Dew. I can't stand the stuff anyway, so I don't care what flavor it comes in.
I'm with you there.
Stuff.
Like I say, I didn't mind until I saw the color of it, and I've never had it again since that.
Well, I obviously didn't see the color of it, but I still don't like it.
Well, right, and I can understand that, but you know, I don't know what would possess a company to make a soda that's bright yellow.
Yeah, that's kind of weird, but...
Yes, exactly. But yeah, so I can't speak to any of their new flavors because I won't try them.
Yeah, neither will I, but it made me think of one song I haven't heard in a long time, and that's Things That Make You Go,
Oh, yes, absolutely. I love that. CNC Music Company. Yeah.
Yeah, so right. That's one of my requests.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then 6345789.
Okay, Soulsville, USA. That's the actual title, you know.
What is it?
Soulsville, USA.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I'm really bad on the titles of things. Speaking of which, there's a song I've been thinking of, and I can't think of the title of it, but I'll try to do it without singing it, if I can remember all the lyrics, something like, when I saw the look within his eyes made me realize I should apologize, and when he laid his kiss upon my face, then I knew that he won my heart.
Oh, no, I know this song. Oh, my.
Do I have to hum it?
Yeah, you do.
And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I'm picking it up after that, and I'm not coming up with a title. Oh, God.
Then I knew, oh, then I knew that he won my heart.
Absolutely. Oh, God, don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Oh, God.
Sorry. I was sure you'd know it if I
Yeah,
said
right.
The lyrics.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And, oh, God. Oh, this is one of those where, you know, I'll kick myself when
I... Not a word did he say.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
This is horrible. Oh, God. Damn.
I know it was a big hit, but I haven't heard it.
And it's a Motown record, I'm pretty sure.
I think so. It sounds very Motown.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, no. That won my heart. Yeah,
I can figure it out.
That won my heart. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not the title, though. That's in there. Then I knew that he won my heart. Yeah.
She was kind of ignoring the guy and kind of turned and walked away. Not a word did he. When I turned and walked away, not a word did he say. you know.
Yes. Yes. This. Oh no. 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 Oh, this is
maybe
this.
one of the listeners knows it.
Yes, hopefully, is it the Supremes? I want to say it's the Supremes. Okay, Isaac
it sounds
says
a lot like
Isaac says when the light shines,
like
but
Supremes.
when the love light shining. Okay.
Oh, that might be when the love light shined within. Yeah, I couldn't remember. Yeah, I got that part of the lyric wrong.
Yeah, I think it's when the love light shines. Yeah.
Usually I'm not a big Supremes fan, but I like that particular song a lot, and I haven't heard it in.
Yeah, because when the love light shines through his eyes, made me realize I should apologize, and when he placed a kiss upon my face, I knew that he won my heart.
That's the one.
All right. So Isaac, I'll be there in a minute. Thank you. Yeah, when the love light starts shining through my heart. All right.
Oh, that's what it's called. Okay.
Thank God. I did not want to be up all night with this. But, yeah, I was thinking it was...
No.
I was thinking it was Motown. Oh, God. All right. Yes, absolutely. And for people who are saying, what the hell are you talking about? Well, here it is. Got it. Yes, there you have it.
That's the one.
All right. So
well,
good.
I'm glad you don't have to stay up night trying to figure that out.
Yes. But you'd like to hear it as a request? You want to hear more of it?
Yes, I would. Yes.
All right. Well, now I know where to find it. It's right here. All right.
Okay. And I guess that's about all I have to say for tonight. If I think of anything else, I'll call tomorrow night.
I'll count on it.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah. So yes, indeed. All right. Now, a big thank you to Isaac. Absolutely. When the love light starts shining. All right, Isaac. Thank you.
No problem. That's one of, I think it's from like their first album, or it's a really early one of theirs. That's the only reason why I know it.
Interesting. Yeah. It is in the earlier period, yes, but it would take me a while. I probably would have come up with it, but when it said light, I said, love light. Of course. Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
You know, I hear when people talk about the Supremes, they say that, my grandmother who passed away, but she talked about how when she was a little girl, she did not like the Supremes. She didn't think that they were, like, for lack of a better word, like gritty enough. Like,
okay.
She liked, Martha and the Vandals, yeah. And what's the other one?
The Marvelettes. Yeah.
Yeah. She thought that the Supremes were kind of like bubblegum pop. Was that a common thought?
Well,
among...
you know, I don't know that I would have said that, but I agree with her. The Supremes were not my first or second favorite, Motown group. I much preferred the Marvelettes, and mm-hmm. I liked a lot of the Martha and the Vandellas stuff. My baby mm-hmm. loves mm-hmm. me, and come get these memories and all that. And I would have put the Supremes not high on my list. Mm-hmm.
Gordy was trying to later on he had them doing a lot of what do you call it, American Standard.
Oh, you know, he did that with everybody, and I have all those albums. I'll tell you who he really tortured with that was Marvin Gaye. I probably have a dozen of those, but it's that way. But I'm trying to think of what album, because it wasn't that first album with Meet the Supremes, but what album that would have been on. I've got it, God knows. But yes, he had them all do that, and I don't know what his predilection was with that stuff. Like he had the Supremes do the songs from Funny Girl. And things like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
And the Temptations.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was all painful.
They kind of talked about trying to integrate them into assimilate them into American, but they were already
absolutely.
They already had all these hits.
Sure, and they were big pop hits. And you know that was the thing, because in some ways Berry Gordy was running two different record labels there, because the mm-hmm. the big hits were definitely mainstream pop hits. But then you had acts like LaBrenda Brenn, who did the Chaperone, which I thought was a great mm-hmm. record, and there was no way that was going to get general market airplay. But you know, the Four Tops, a lot of that Four Tops stuff, I thought, like my favorite by them was Ask the Lonely, and I never really think about that as being that big a top 40 record, but it's a great soul record.
So, well, I've never heard that. Can I request it?
Ask the Lonely. Yeah, my God. If you've never heard that, I'll play it next, because it is my favorite Four Tops record.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
Much,
thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, The Young and Foolish. All right. So, yeah, we'll get there. And I don't ever try to sing. Yeah, for all sorts of good reasons. Now, let's see what Jim in Richmond has to say for his bad self. How you feeling, Jim?
I'm feeling fantastic.
All right.
Yesterday was my birthday.
Oh, happy, happy. Congratulations. How'd you spend it?
By myself.
Oh, all right.
My friend took me shopping, and that was her daughter took me shopping, and we went on a quick trip.
Okay.
And which was the number one gas station in Wisconsin.
Okay.
And they gave me a blueberry muffin, uh-huh. and that's what I had for my birthday cake.
All right. Blueberry muffins are great.
Right. And what I wanted to say is, please, Linda, please go to Strozier's, get a second opinion.
Okay.
And I figured it out. It would take me 134 miles to drive down to her, and 34 miles to take her to Stroger's, and my brother said, no way.
Right.
But I wish you would get a first opinion, and then go to Florida, get a second opinion, because I really want her to find out what's wrong.
Yeah. All right. Well, I know she's listening, so thanks for that.
Right, and number two, can you please play a trucking song for her?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Keep on trucking. No,
well, either that or there's some great trucking songs. One of my favorites is Drag 'em Off the Interstate, Sockatoo 'em JP Blues.
Yes.
Okay.
Play that for her.
All right.
And number two, can you pick some songs for me?
Well, what do you want?
Can you play a Buddy Holly song, one of your favorites?
Absolutely, I can.
And a Chubby Checker song for me?
I'll play your Chubby Checker song that doesn't sound like Chubby, something you've never heard. Okay.
Right. And a Richie Valens song.
Okay. All right.
And a and a Little Richie song.
A Little Richard?
Yeah, Little Richard.
Okay, sure.
And some of those,
okay,
and whatever your favorites are.
All right, I can do it.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
thanks.
You.
Appreciate it.
Good night.
All right, so there you have it. Sure, fine choices, one and all, actually. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we'll in a moment hear my favorite Four Tops record. Yeah, the young and foolish laugh and love, so they run away. Oh, you'll hear it coming up on WGN Radio. Okay, that's absolutely not the original version. We're not going to hear that of Ask the Lonely. We can't do that to Ask the Lonely. That's terrible. All right, I'm going to find it because it deserves to... be better sounding than that. Let's see about this. If all else fails, I'll just pull out the damn record. There we go.
Make it all alone. Remember, no one is big enough to go it alone. Just ask the lonely, they know the hurt and pain of losing a love you can never The young and foolish laugh at love, so they run away. Confident and sure that fate will bring another love their way. But ask the lonely how vainly a heart can yearn for losing a love that will never reach.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the one that does it for me. Ivy Joe Hunter wrote that with Mickey Stevenson, and Holland Dozier Holland produced it. Levi Stubbs was the lead. It's the Andantes in the background, along with the other Tops. Yeah, Obie and Lawrence and Duke. And the usual session musicians, the Funk Brothers and all that kind of, but it was Detroit Symphony Orchestra providing the instrumentation on that. And I thought it was just a terrific record. All right, so I hope that Isaac liked it. Now, with that in mind, I got far too few minutes. So firstly, Laura and Willowbrook, you need to call me early. I talked to myself for an hour and a half. How's it going, Laura?
I know, I'm sorry, I got wrong time. But anyway, I'll just put my requests in them, and I'll call you back tomorrow for the other.
Okay, good. And call early. I'm sick of talking to myself.
I will.
All right.
I will for sure. If you wouldn't mind playing both or either one of them or something else, I Fall to Pieces by Patsy Cline.
Oh, sure.
And Loretta Lynn, Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that's it.
All right. Good deal. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, good
thanks.
Night.
All right, so let's see. I have time to get in. A couple minutes left, and it's Cindy in Chicago who heard some of her requests tonight. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
I guess I'll talk to you about what I was going to, about my friend on Facebook, husband dying tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I mean, it's just real, I just really took it hard because I went to school with him. He was in my A group classes. Well, then anyhow, I need a little grace because, I can't, there's nothing I can do about it. I have such terrible racing thoughts right now, and I just even forgot if I just took my lorazepam. I'm like, yes, I did take it,
okay.
But, it took break the pattern of the racing thought. But anyhow, I guess what triggered it, and I'm really angry at the association president because he's so screwed up in double entendre, and I, you know, I'm so angry that it triggered this mania in me because I can't deal with that double entendre crap. He's a teacher and he's so screwed up in that, and I feel like God spoke to me and said, just have compassion for him and don't be mean and just have compassion and the meek will inherit the earth.
And you know what I'll tell you? You know what I'll tell you, of course. It's time for more Thinkers Anonymous.
And that Reverend Meek said on Salem Baptist Church, which is a legitimate.
All right. You've ended the night. Now, between now and when I talk to you tomorrow night, I don't want you to think. All right.
Well, I just know
Stop
that
it.
If I keep taking my medication, it'll go away.
Well, let's take another one then. All right, I'll talk to you later. Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, all right, and you thought you had problems. We thank Brett for keeping us on the air. Couldn't have done it without him. We thank John for screening your calls, and those of you who called, especially in the second half of the show, that was swell. Call earlier tomorrow. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.